Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, my guest is Ron DeCiani. He is a world-famous artist, and it is well-deserved. He is someone who has a real heart for God. He came to the Lord early in life, in his late teens, and we'll talk about that some. And he has a real passion to serve the Lord with the extraordinary talents that he's been given. And God has been blessing his obedience in that regard. And in fact, according to the piece I read here, he was chosen for the 1980 Olympics for the U.S. to be the official artist.
Yep.
Now, I mean, you know, that's pretty tremendous. And he didn't have to run a 10K or anything to do that. But I have in my study the painting that kind of catapulted him. It's I don't have the original. I have a print, of course, but it's spiritual warfare. And I'm looking at it right now as I look over in that direction. Yeah. Beautiful piece, very dear to my heart. This is the father of seven children and granddad to 12 children. I know the importance of prayer, and I was just writing a devotional about prayer today and saying that when we engage in prayer, we're engaging in warfare because the adversary does not want us doing that. So Ron did this beautiful piece of a father kneeling beside his child's bed and praying over his child, and that kind of took him from just doing a lot of commercial art for big companies to being recognized as an outstanding artist who is a Christian. He would say a Christian who is an artist, cleverly disguised as an artist, I believe he said. So Ron, welcome to the broadcast. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's such an honor to be here with you. Let me just say one thing about your nice comments. I tell my wife sometimes, you know, I'm famous. And she goes, yeah, go take out the garbage. So I don't get too far with that. Yeah.
Fame doesn't take away responsibility for human life.
No, it sure doesn't. But thank you. My path, can I take you back a little bit so that you understand what my history is?
Yeah.
First of all, way back, my mom was on her way to have me aborted.
Hmm.
Literally walking down Grand Avenue in Chicago to the doctor's office where they were going to begin the procedure. Now, she was not a born-again Christian at the time,
right?
Although she had a heritage of that from my grandmother. Hmm. But she sat down in the office, and they said, we'll start the proceedings and all that with an injection. Mm-hmm. And my mom didn't know what that meant. She said, fine, let's get on with it. She said the needle came within an inch of her arm, and the Lord spoke to her audibly and said, don't do this. I have a plan for this baby.
Wow.
My mom pushed the needle away, got up, walked out, and never went back. And she reminded me of this through all my years.
Praise God.
Then as fast forwarding, when I was at the American Academy of Art, I told an instructor of mine, my desire is to preach in my work, visually preach the gospel.
Praise God.
And he said, to my dismay and amazement, it'll never happen. And I said, what? And he said, the church isn't interested in visuals. Go to the world. You'll be paid handsomely. And I didn't argue with them because back in the day, you didn't argue with your teachers, but I hid it in my heart that this is what God had for me. Mm-hmm. And quick testimony is years later, after we had parted company and got it opened up all these doors, I was at a book and print signing, and I saw the feet of an old man shuffle up toward me, and it was him.
Wow.
Tears in his eyes, he said, "This is amazing."
Praise
so,
God.
Yeah, praise got God. A got an opportunity to do what I've been called. So when the spiritual warfare painting came out, the company I was with at the time said, you know, "We're just going to trust you heard from God." And I said, "Yeah, this is what God's put on my heart." And they said to me, they went all around through their big company and showed it to everybody. And most people said, "Nobody wants to see this."
Hmm.
A man praying for his son while the angels are fighting in the window. Who wants to see this?
Yeah.
They even went to focus on the family and said, "Hey, can you guys help us partner?" And they said, "No, not interested." And 6 months later, they ordered 17,000 of them from me.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. So when God wants something done, he gets it done.
Amen.
But, but then the company launched it, and it's been a rocket ever since.
Well, and I'm happy to say that my particular copy of this print is signed.
Oh, good.
I've got one of the signed copies. So
good.
Thank you. I know you had to sign a bunch of them, but I appreciate your signing
a few.
I got one.
I always told the Lord, "Lord, I hope my signature on here doesn't mess things up," because the scripture, Ephesians 6:12, is just so prominent. And that's literally a testimony of what my wife and I do and have done for so many years with our children. Now they're grown, have their own families.
Yep.
But boy, we would go to their bedside at night. They were asleep, but boy, we would just talk to the Lord about them and never regretted a moment of it.
I was talking with a pastor who was very concerned about his son.
Yeah.
His son was still in his teens and was going through some horrible stuff and not doing well, not living for Jesus. Certainly knew the gospel, had professed faith in Christ, but clearly was not living for the Lord at all. He was in hideous bondage. And the father said, I don't know what to do.
Sure.
And I said to the father, who had a background in the military, "If you knew that three villainous thugs had broken into your home and they were in your son's bedroom right now and trying to kill him, what would you do?" I said, "Would you be on the phone with me, or would you be in there fighting against those thugs?"
Yes.
And he said, "Well, of course I'd be in there." And I said, "That's what you need to do."
Yes.
I said, "This is not just about your son. This is about spiritual warfare. There are literally demonic entities that are out to take down our kids, to steal, kill, and destroy." I said, don't go in and do battle with your son. You need to go and do battle on your knees with the forces of darkness.
Yeah, I was keenly aware of that. We had some experiences as well when one of my children went away to college. And boy, the pressure there is out there to not be a Christian and to go the wrong way is unbelievable. And one of my kids apparently said, "Okay, I'll give it a try." And it was a disaster.
Sure.
So I remember talking with them and talking with the school, and they said, no, he's fine. Everything's all right. But the Holy Spirit let us know that he wasn't all right, no matter what anybody said. And we continued to pray. And at one point, my wife and I put our hands on the scripture, and I had done a painting called If Two Agree. Mm. And we agreed on that scripture that God would bring our son home.
Praise God.
And he did, but not in the way I thought. Right after that, what happened is we got a call. I'm in jail.
Hmm.
We wanted to say, "Lord, that's not quite what we meant." You know, but who tells God what to do? Surely not me. Surely not me. And that experience so woke him up back to the Lord. And today he's just a fireball for God, and so grateful. But it took a little hard time in there, and Wow. And I remember him telling me that he used to wake up at night with kind of the night terrors and seeing himself back in prison. And he said, "Dad, what was I thinking?" And I said, "You weren't."
Yeah. Amen.
You weren't.
Well, and this is one of the things I think Christians need to realize. This is not just sociological pressure or psychological pressure. This is spiritual warfare.
Oh, yeah.
There really are spiritual entities that are real, that are ancient. They've had plenty of practice on previous generations.
Yeah.
And they've not changed their strategy.
Let me ask a question. Maybe you could help me with the answer because I'm flummoxed. What has the devil ever done for them that they'd want to go down his path? Has he ever healed anybody? Has he ever helped anybody? Has he ever had good intentions? No. His whole plan is to get you to live with him in hell forever in a place you don't want to go. So what's the attraction? I mean, I don't get it.
Well, I can tell you this. In the short term, he not only makes huge promises, but he will sometimes deliver in a minor way on things that are passing. He will answer prayers to give people material success, fame, all kinds of stuff. But the price, it's not free. He doesn't have anything free. Yeah. It's like a pusher who gives people a drug
in
order to get them hooked.
Yeah, first Years time ago, is free, right?
That's right. That's right. And I mean, so he'll do that. And so in that sense, people think, well, you know, I tried doing this thing that I was tempted to do and it was fun. Yeah. Well, yeah, it was fun. But how's the aftertaste? You end up with a mouthful of gravel.
Scripture has unmasked the devil.
Absolutely.
He's no longer someone who we even consider to be good. Yeah, he may have a few trinkets he'll throw our way to get us sidetracked. But as you said, the end of it is eternal death.
Absolutely.
And Jesus came and died and rose again so that we don't need to go his way. We need to go God's way. We don't need to go to the devil's way. In the end, he has nothing for us.
Amen.
But God has opened up eternity to us. And tell you what, that's the way I'm going.
Amen. Praise God. Me too, brother.
You bet.
Now, you are a part of a remarkable project.
Yeah.
This Bible, the Passion Bible, this is a special masterpiece edition.
Yes.
And it has a series of devotionals. And I think that the intro to this translation does a very good job explaining why there's a real value in modern Bible translations.
Yes.
Now, I want our listeners to know, I cannot vouch, not having read through I've read portions, but I haven't read through the entire translation here, the Passion Translation. I have friends that I love who love Jesus and love his word, and they love this translation.
Mm.
And so I would certainly encourage you to take a look at it and compare it with the other translations that you depend on, that you are confident in. I will tell you this, God's word is perfect.
You bet.
And the New Testament writers were working from the Holy Spirit was speaking through them.
Yes.
But when they quoted the Old Testament, they were quoting from the Septuagint, which was a Greek translation. It was not the Hebrew Bible.
Sure.
It was the Bible that the Hebrews were using because Greek was the language of the people. And if you wanted to be understood, you wrote in Greek. So they used a Greek Old Testament and that was their scripture.
Sure.
So there's nothing wrong with the fact that those of us who speak English have to use an English translation.
Sure. Well, let me just jump in and say this.
Yeah.
Our intention is to get the word of God out.
Amen.
Now we've included my paintings, not because we're art lovers or because we want to be famous or any of that. We want to have somebody who sits down and opens their Bible. We want to be able to say, have them say, I used my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I used my words and the words in the Bible, and I used my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Oswald Chambers, many, many, decades and decades ago said, as Christians, we've lost our power to visualize. Yeah. Wow, was he right.
Yes.
And we don't. That's why we're hungry for movies and all that stuff. Well, unfortunately, the movies aren't helping us all that much. You know, I can't tell you the times that I hear about a great movie and I go see it 2 minutes in. I'm walking out going, I'm putting that in my eyes. So as Christians, wouldn't it be to our advantage to read the Word of God, see what it means, imagine ourselves as the one who's kneeling before God with her arm reaching for the hem of Christ's garment? Isn't that us? And so I think that, you know, it was like this when the Message came out and everybody said, boy, I can't tell you how that translation impacted me. And now with the Masterpiece edition. And so, you know, I devour God's Word. I got to tell you, I can't get enough. I just every day, whenever I sit before the Bible and I pray, God, speak to me right now.
Amen.
Speak to me right now. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm desperate for God's Word in my life and in my mind. And so we tried to package this as something that's going to help people see God.
Years and years ago, my pastor, when I was a teen, was asked, the Living Bible at that time, which was, it's now a translation, but back then the Living Bible was just a paraphrase. And it was extremely popular and tons of people were reading it. And some people were saying, you know, it's not really a translation. Now the Passion Translation is a translation. But the Living Bible was the thing at the time that was, had so many people reading it and a lot of people coming to faith in Christ, even as they read. And then people who'd just gotten saved reading the Living Bible in order to get, you know, what does God say? How should I live? What should I do?
Yes.
And my pastor was asked, which translation of the Bible do you believe is the best? And he looked at him and he said, the one you'll read the most. Because, you know, if you've got a really accurate translation and you don't read it, it's not going to do you any good.
There you go.
If you've got a less than perfect translation, but you're really reading it and asking God, as you just described, Lord, speak to me. Show me what you want me to see. Tell me what you want me to hear. If you'll do that, God will definitely speak through his word.
You know, my mom, who was uneducated, came from Italy. When she became a Christian, I don't know what the right word to say, because I loved my mom and I don't want to say anything disparagingly about her, but she didn't understand the more eloquent or study type Bible. She just couldn't understand it. She went to the Living Bible.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I've never seen anybody serve God the way she did. And I'm trying to think of, most of the time I've ever visited her, all she did is had her Bible on her lap. You know, I mean, you tell me that's a bad thing. I don't think so. Yeah.
It was a very good paraphrase. I'll say that.
Let me
give one more quick illustration of that.
Sure.
A couple that had come out of the drug culture and they were just really struggling, but they were brand new Christians. And they developed through bad diet, basically, both of them got abscessed teeth in their in their mouths.
Ouch.
Extremely painful. And they didn't have money to go to the doctor, didn't have money for medicine, didn't know what to do. So they just prayed for God to heal them. Well, they weren't getting well. They were still hurting. They was like, well, somebody told them you need to have a particular verse from God that you're claiming, that you're holding on to this and standing on God's word. And if the two of you will agree, is touching anything, the verse you cited earlier on, if you'll do that, then God will honor his word. So they got a concordance and they looked up the word teeth in the concordance and they found a verse in the Old Testament where God said he was going to give the people cleanness of teeth. And so they just agreed together that God was going to give them cleanness of teeth. Lord, you promised it in your word. They did not know to read the context. They didn't understand the Old English. They didn't understand the metaphor God was using. The phrase cleanness of teeth means God was going to punish those people by sending famine.
Oh, boy.
And here they are trusting God to give them cleanness of teeth. You know what God did? He laughed and healed their teeth.
Amen. Amen.
He healed them both.
You know why?
If you want to do God's will and you want to believe his word, God will do whatever it takes.
Yeah. The great thing about what you just said is, see, God looks at our heart.
Yes.
He sees, you know, we may be sincerely wrong about some things, but he sees our heart, that in the long run, we're saying, hey, God, use me, send me your way. And that's the kind of prayer he answers.
Amen. You know,
that's the kind of prayer he answers. And that's what I want to encourage people to do. In my life, there were times I didn't have a clue what to pray, but God put certain things in my heart and I prayed those, and he showed me the way to go.
Yes.
And boy, I just, if I didn't have my Bible, I don't know what I'd do.
Yeah. Well, we are so blessed that there were people who were willing to give their lives, not just risk them,
yes,
but literally give, yes, their lives. They died in order to make sure that we would have the Bible in our own language.
Yes.
And we are so blessed, and we need to not take that for granted. We need to be in the Word each day, as you described. We need to be feeding on God's Word.
Amen.
And don't, you can fast from a lot of other things, but don't fast from the Bible.
Amen. Amen. Well, we have, in the Masterpiece Bible, we have 60 of my paintings, and we're now embarking on the Old Testament, which I don't know the full amount that I'm going to have to do. I'm about 18 in right at, yeah, the moment. So I think we have a bunch more to do, but, this is my, how do you say, bucket list?
Yeah.
For me, for the, yeah, last 30 years or so, I had probably most of the major Christian publishers come to me and say, we want to do a Bible with you. Mm-hmm. And I always said, yeah, let's do it. Never happened. And then all of a sudden, Broad Street came and said, we want to do a Bible with you. And I thought, yeah, like everybody else. And they did it. They
Praise
did it.
God.
So I'm unbelievably humbled at this. I've told God so many times, I don't think my work should be in your Bible. But God knows what he's doing. So I don't tell God what to do. I ask him certain things, let him know where my heart is. But by no means do I think, or any of the people I'm working with, think that we deserve this. Yeah. No, this is the Word of God.
Well, I believe that's why your paintings are going in here and they belong there.
Well, thank you, brother.
Because you have sought to point people to Jesus, point people, yeah, to him. Get people to believe what he says.
That's right.
And God is honoring that.
I'm hoping this goes everywhere in the world, because as you know, paintings don't need any translation.
Amen.
You just look at them and people come to the cross. I'll never forget, I was doing a painting called Salvation for the Assemblies of God. And it was a mural along with three others. And a family, unchurched, came to our home. And they had a 12 or so year old son that was there. And as the adults were talking, he kind of wandered away, went into my studio and saw, the painting wasn't even done at the time, but he saw enough. And when I came in back of him, I said, hey, how you doing? He goes, good. He said, is that me in the painting? It's a man kneeling at the cross.
Oh my.
And I thought to myself, man, I wish the adults could see this.
Amen.
You know, cause this little kid said, is that me? Well, today, yeah, he's a worship leader.
So that was him. He was kneeling at the cross in his heart.
That was him. It's you and me. It's, yeah, definitely me with the, amen, hammer and nails in my hands. Yeah. Beautiful. And I'm just so fortunate that God told me he forgave me. Yeah.
Amen. Brother, thank you so much. I'm grateful for your contribution. As I said, right here in my office, I'm blessed by your work. And I thank you for the fact that you've been faithful across the years. There have been so many folks who began to experience success and thought it was about them. And you have kept your eyes on the Lord, and God has honored that. And I am grateful.
Well, I'm the neediest guy you'll ever meet. I need God. I need Christ.
Amen.
So I love it.
Ron, thank you so much. God bless you. Keep up the good work. And I hope one day you and your wife will make the trek all the way from California to East Tennessee, to the, wow, beautiful Smoky Mountains, and, wow, see what God is doing here at Ware's Valley Ranch.
Thank you, brother. Can I say one last thing?
Sure.
Would you encourage your people and you pray for me?
Glad to.
Pray for me, because I need God desperately in my life.
All right.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
God bless.
And you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program, or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's That's pastorwood.org.